Soul Mountain today. I'm super excited. Got my boy here with me. It's been a long time coming. Robster Lobster is joining me on the trail today. He's based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And today we are going to open the story and the conversation around the blue collar industry, the construction industry, and the trades and the mindset and the opportunity that's there. 2 years ago, we met through Whole Health Connections, an online health community. And then we clicked and we instantly solidified that with plans to go snowboarding up in the UP at Mount Bohemia, which was a hell of a lot of fun. And then we participated in a men's retreat together, and we also later led our own men's retreat together, which was super powerful learning experience. And it was really awesome to see Rob step up and show what he can offer and to hold that space with him. Robster Lobster is a welder and a lifted coach. He's a playful lad, and he's an Humphreys McGee fanatic. If anybody knows them, they're a great band, and Rob will—he holds the wins for the fans. And he's a dear brother of mine. So thank you so much for being here with me, Rob. I'm stoked to have this podcast set up with you.
Yeah, man, stoked to be here. It's gonna be fun. Gonna dive into what I love, what you love. One of the things we have in common, one of the many things. So, yeah, this is great.
Absolutely, man. Well, let's get started with your story around welding. What is welding to you, and how'd you get into it?
To me, and I've heard this from multiple welders in my experiences, it's a peace of mind. It's a place where that I'm free, things slip away, or you could call it a flow state. So I didn't know that back in 2010 when I was a junior in high school, hothead, yelled at teachers all the time, cussing them out, suspended, smoking weed, getting drunk when I had the possibility to do that. And I would go to metals class and I'd get in the booth. I would weld and I would come out of class like, oh, I'm really happy. I feel really good. I'm great. Oh, there's something here. Oh, didn't listen to that. Went back to drinking, smoking, partying, doing what I thought was the right way to do that. So, really too, what happened is that was the first time a teacher looked at what I was doing. It was like, you have a potential here. Like, you're good at this. If you keep doing this, you don't have to do any of the other projects you don't want to do. Just keep showing me this and I'll pass you with a B. Promise me you're going to go on to school to do this. And I was like, yeah, of course. Well, a couple years off, by the age of 24, I was working at an assembly job for about 4 years, putting screws in a hole, same thing over and over again, very monotonous, not using my brain. And then stepped down from that job to take a position in maintenance. But I was pushing around garbage, and so you can assume that is only so fun for so long. Very destructive, smoking cigarettes like a pack and a half a day at that point, doing that. And something just clicked. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? I'm showing up late. I'm drinking all the time, not taking care of myself. So I was like, oh, I really liked welding in high school. Let me give that a try. So set off on an adventure for that summer. I said my one last hurrah before step into school. And then, spring of 2019 is when I restruck the arc again for the first time in 9 years. And it was great. It was the best decision I made. Not with some other ones like Enlifted, but we'll talk about that later. And it was, as soon as I got in there, it's brought me right back, and still at that point didn't realize that this is a flow state, that this is where I'm at. Because once you're there, you got the gun in the hand, hood's flipped down, pull the trigger, press the foot pedal, whatever process you're using, it's you and that weld in that moment for however long that weld takes, and you're focused on it. You're not just looking off to the side, like, you're determined on it. You got to check your travel speed, your arc length, so many variables that go into it. So you're just fully present. And it's that feeling of being fully present that really lights me up. It keeps me going. And the fact that I get to build something with my hands. So yeah, that was the journey into school, did school. First time I had ever gotten 3.0s in school. So I was just looking at my transcripts the other day.
It's interesting when you're passionate about something, how, you know, good you'll be at it.
Right, right. If I say anything to anybody, like, if it sucks right now, sit down, meditate about it, think about it. Like, is this really what I want to do? Is this where I want to be? Mm-hmm. Or am I just doing this because this is what I was told to do? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's like, once I figured that out, I was like, oh, man, I really love this. Now, the core classes, not the biggest fan of. Still passed them. And, you know, still graduated 3.0. That was wild to me. It was amazing that it happened. I knew I could do it. And I told myself, I'm going to do this. Like, this is what I want to do. And I'm happy about it. Talked about it all the time while I was in school. I still talk about it to this day because I love it. And, you know, this is a great segue into why the trades are really great. I wasn't even graduated yet. Had a part-time job welding. Wasn't a fan of that job. Was able to get another job. I had one semester left, started working full-time, being paid very well. And I'm still at that current job right now. So I didn't even have to wait for school to be done for me to start making, I think I was already at that point making over 40,000 a year. And I wasn't even technically done with my diploma. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just, it's amazing to see how well these trades can go in and just how fast you can track into this.
Right. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's a huge challenge with like any job or going to school for anything. It's like, okay, you got to do this part and then you can start applying for jobs. And then, you know, and it's a big struggle to even get into that. So it's like really cool that you were able to do that. And it's a common thing with any instruction, like construction thing, where it's, you do an apprenticeship and you get to learn more and like you're getting on the site experience, which is for many people like the biggest learning experience because they get to actually do the thing. When you're sitting in a classroom and learning things, you learn a lot, except like the applied experience is where like real growth can come from.
Right. Yeah. I mean, your industry, my industry, the plumbing industry, electricians, yeah, it's all hands on. And that's why too, like you'll see people, I mean, in my experience, my classes that I was in, that they were, they're like, oh, I'm here because I'm going to make good money. I'm make really good money. I'm like, yeah, you can. You really can. And just know that you're not going to be making that 60, 65K right out the gate because it is experience. It is mm-hmm. what you gain. Like I took school. I'm not knocking school. I would tell anyone to go to school, especially for a trade if they want, especially if you have no experience whatsoever. Because what that did is that gave me the grounds to apply for a job and have a little bit of training on it. Whether me trying to apply for a job and be like, oh, I have no training. I just think it looks cool, so I want to give it a try. You know, this allowed me to step in there and be like, hey, I know how to do this. I have this background on it. And then once you get in and you get that experience, like at the bench, out in the field, whatever it is, what route you go to, that's where you're going to learn everything. And they don't teach you everything in school. They teach you the basics so that you can go out there and learn from the other guys. And then you have so much more that you can bring to the table too, as you're doing it. So like, yeah, I mean, I've been in it for 3 years consistently now and I've gotten a $10 worth of raises. And, you know, I attribute that to one, being super passionate about it. B, about a year in, I had a little bit of a health scare. So that got me to start working out, which made my job a lot easier because you're on your feet all day. You're lifting heavy things. You're moving around. You're not just sitting at a desk. You're not just sitting in a chair like I am right now. You're building stuff. And you know that. You're on ladders and climbing on roofs. And I'm sure you can attest that being physically fit is helpful for that. And on top of that, after I got physically fit, I went internal mindset and I saw a huge skyrocket there. I had all these mountains. Okay, this is where I want to be at the shop. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish. So by getting my body right and my mind right, I can attribute that to me being able to jump up into the shop very quickly.
I love all that. And it's, yeah, the more you practice. better you're going to get at. And one of the things that I've seen in reflection to like where you're saying, like, you know, you started to realize, oh, this is where I want to be at. This is what I want to accomplish. This is how good I want to be. One of the things that I see in the industry a lot of times is that people in authority, and this is an old paradigm of like, if I teach somebody everything that I know, then they're going to take my spot. You know, it's the scarcity mindset of like I have to keep them below me because they're going to take my spot or they're going to be better than me. And it's a lot of ego and stuff, but that was something that was, I think, taught years ago, was that you have to, there's a specific timeline for you to get to where you want to go. And nowadays it can be different, based on like your efforts and knowing that, like, for me, I've learned that like age is a big thing. People who are older in the industry can look at people who are younger, who are really good at their craft, as like a lack of respect simply because of the age and stuff. But that's something that I've noticed of in the industry, is like this scarcity mindset around leadership and like having to, like that there's going to be a role taken away and stuff. I don't know if you've noticed stuff like that in your shop at all.
Directly, I haven't noticed it. I've heard about it. I got really lucky with the shop that I'm in. Like, you know, the guys I work with are a little more health conscious, and we're all from the same school. We all went to the same school. Not all of us. It's very general, but most of us went to the same school, got same degree, from the same teacher. They called and they're like, "Hey, we need some good guys." And they're like, "Yeah, got them." Sent us over there. And but I've noticed that, you know, when I first started, you know, there was a manager and he'd be like, "Oh, I don't know, I haven't done it that way." Like, but then you kind of look at you and be like, "Well, you can try it that way. Like, it could work in theory. If it doesn't work, don't do it again." So like, gotten lucky with that, of being that way. But yeah, I've definitely heard that, where it's like, you know, it's my way, can't do it that way. And then, yeah, you were mentioning how like the scarcity mindset of like losing that job, which sucks, because there's so much you can learn. And that's what I love about the industry, is you continue to learn and you continue to do it. And that's why I love it as well, is because, you know, you will not learn everything. Like, you can do it for 100 years and you're still going to keep learning new stuff, because, well, one, technology is forever changing. Like, I was just at a trade show, FabTech, and all the stuff that's there is just mind blowing stuff I don't even understand because I don't use it in my application. But yeah, to have new people come in and share like their new info, because you get a new brain in there, they look at it, they can see a different way, they can make that job even faster and easier. Mm-hmm. You used to be busting your ass on it. Now they're like, "Oh, hey, I did it this way." You're like, "Wish I would have thought of that 10 years ago. Glad it's here now, because I don't have to keep busting my back to do it anymore." I see that. And I would say that's a good way for me to segue into the collective story that we were all sold on a blue collar person. Mm-hmm. Because the story that I was sold, I know you and I have talked about it, I'll share it with everybody here, is that if you're a welder, you're a mechanic, you do electrical work, plumber, construction, you're an idiot, you're dumb. That's for the dumb kids. It's for the slow ones. Those are for the ones that aren't going to go anywhere. Okay, now I see that everywhere in there. And that brings up scarcity mindset. So then at that point, where I see that fall into like the money of scarcity too, is that you start spending all this money on this stuff, and then that further fuels your scarcity mindset, and then fuels you into not wanting somebody else to take that job of yours, because, like, oh, they're going to get paid more than me. They want more than me. It's not going to happen. So, you know, honestly, it is derived back from this big collective story that I've seen. And honestly, like, I was just looking up some stuff. I'm going to read some numbers off real quick.
Yes.
Like, okay, there's no scarcity in our jobs. Welding industry, projected by 2032, 438,000 jobs. Plumbers, by 2032, 493,000 jobs. Electricians, 761,000 jobs by 2031. there's no scarcity. It's not going to happen. It's only going to, unfortunately, get worse, because I believe these jobs are still being looked at. It's too hard, and I don't want to live that way. And that's what I'm here for. That's what you're here for, mm-hmm. is to show you don't, like, you don't have to live that way. You get to live the way you want to. You can live that way. You can, you know, not knocking it. I've done it before. Live off of energy drinks and gas station food, and that's only going to serve you so long. And then that's when you start to hate things. And mm-hmm. I like to say, where your wife doesn't want to be around you anymore, or keep a PG, have sex with you anymore. So if that's happening, some changes can be made. You know, mm-hmm. that's what I want to do. I want to help with that. I want to do that. And I want to create a new generation of what it means to be a blue collar worker and how to get into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, and before we get into like all these, because that is the common story of like the deadbeats, the people who have nowhere to go there. That's where you're going to end up and stuff. And I've been told that so many times in high school, is like, oh, you're going to be a construction worker. And like, and one of the things that you mentioned is like getting into flow state and being in presence and stuff. And I want to ask you about like your feeling of fulfillment with your job, because that's one of the biggest things that people look at, you know, when they're doing a job. It's like, does it make money? Because people think that money is going to bring them fulfillment and bring them the sense of purpose and stuff. When in reality, all these trades, like, you get such a sense of fulfillment and accomplishment after you make these things and know where they're going and stuff. So what's your perspective on all that?
As a man's perspective in the masculinity, which, you know, we both support in doing men's work and men's immersions. There's something about working with your hands, something about getting your hands on the material, using your brain. We're using a tape measure, using a combination square, level, getting things correctly. The fulfillment from seeing a pile of wood, a pile of metal, you're just like, oh, this is scrap. There's the, why would this be laying around? Our brains work differently. We look at the blueprint, see it, okay, comes together, and you tack it up on my end. I tack it up and I look at it before putting welds on it. I'm like, cool, now it looks like something. And then from there, I get to weld it, get to put on the welds, I get to make sure that, you know, they're either laid on, they're flat, they look nice, they're consistent, they're the right size, they're not undersized. Knowing what my target end goal is for that is where I get my fulfillment. And as I mentioned before, is working with my hands. There's something about it, getting your hands on the material, doing that. That's a fulfillment. I found the most fulfillment in this job. Again, like I said, I've been in it for 3 years. Yeah, sure. I don't want to work 5 days a week. I don't want to work 40 hours, but I don't wake up hating the fact that I have to go to my job. I don't go to bed worried about the fact that I have to go to my job. Wake up every day, big smile on my face, like, hey, I get to go weld today. I get to go build stuff, instead of I have to go do this, I have to do that. Because once that starts happening, and I notice that in my job, that's when I'm going to have, that's when I, like, I get to make a change. Because that's what I did when I worked on the assembly line into welding, is, oh, I'm creating a destructive lifestyle because I'm not happy at my job and have no fulfillment in putting screws in the holes anymore. And there is no brain work. So, you know, from what I've seen in health related stuff too, is that when you can do something physical and get your brain moving at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to create a little bit of better connection. And I would say create more fulfillment in what you're doing as well too, because mm-hmm. Like I said, like on my end, when I'm doing layout, like you're using a tape and then you're double checking it. And then you're making sure things are flat. You're making sure things are square at 90. I work with degrees all the time. So like I'm using math that I thought I would never use. And by doing that ability, I'm more comfortable with it. And on top of that, my brain functions to me a lot better while I'm at work and even outside of work. Mm-hmm. So, and then, honestly, if you're working a 40-hour week job, you're spending 40 hours a week at that job. If you can find fulfillment, have fulfillment in that job, that's going to allow you to come back home and put fulfillment and energy and fun into your own life, into your kids' life. If you have kids, your wife, your girlfriend, your partner, whatever, whoever that person is for you, that's going to radiate onto them. That's going to allow your relationship to blossom. Because I know in my experience, I was younger, so can I contribute to that too? Still learning what it's like to be in a relationship. I was not, I'll admit it, I was not the best partner. I was not a great partner. And looking back on it, I was coming home from work, super tired, didn't want to talk to anybody, laying on the couch, easier to sit down, crack a beer, play some video games, and wake up the next day and rush out the door within 5 minutes of waking up. So you find a job, one, find the job that fulfills you. Two, you know, that's going to radiate into your own life, which then projects outward into the people that are in your life. And from there, I would say confidently, you are unstoppable.
Greetings, my friend. Thank you for hanging out with me the past 20 minutes. I want to take a moment to invite you to join me on the current mountain I am climbing. This mountain is a gathering for men to become brothers and to further step into their kingship. We're journeying down to Costa Rica for the first Brothers Beyond Men's Retreat. It's a 6-day journey, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do a lot of movement practices, daily meditations, breath work. We're diving deep into story work, and I'm excited to lead this with my boy Bill Robertson. It's quite clear that there's a disconnect in the strong men around the globe, and I don't mean muscular. Men are sadder, angrier, and more lonely than any time before, and there's a missing sense of tribe. So if you're curious about the men's retreat, please head over to summittosoulmountain.com/brothersbeyond/ to get details and schedule a call with Bill or myself. And now I wish you to enjoy the rest of this conversation with my boy Robster Lobster. Cheers. Well said. Yeah. Like, you know, when you find a job that you like and you're passionate about, and especially with the trades and everything, it's like, it's biological in men to want to use their physical body and create things and feel strong and, you know, build things. Like, it's rare that I find somebody who, when I talk to them about carpentry, they're like, man, I really respect you being able to build things and know how to do all these things, because it's something I wish I could do, you know. And it's not like the, you know, them doing their whole career around building and doing these things, but they're like, man, I wish I could, you know, do these things. Or I look at something, I'm like, I want a table here, but I know I have to buy it because I can't build it, you know, or something like that.
Right. Oh, that's such a great point that you bring that up, because you just said it. And in my experience, it's like, oh, you know, the typical conversation of, oh, what do you do? Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. When I would say confidently, every time I've told somebody that I'm a welder, they're like, oh shit, that's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, you probably make a lot of money. That's a cool job. Those are really needed right now. You're never going to not have a job. I'm like, I know that. So it's funny to hear that when people say this, and like you're saying too, like, oh, it's really cool. You can do all that stuff. So, okay. Yeah. You think that's really cool. But then why is it still like, why is the industry still like losing people coming into it? So like, there's like, that's why I think there's that story that was wrapped around it. Cause it's like, all these people are like, oh, it's cool. You can work with your hands. Like, we work on my truck all the time. Like, how do you know how to do that? And I'm like, I don't. I mean, thankfully we have YouTube now. Like, if there was schematics, if I was born in that time, I would figure that out then. But it's like, oh, how do you know how to do that? You're probably saving so much money. Like, I don't know, like maybe a couple $100, but you know, I have fulfillment out of it. I have enjoyment out of it. So it's like you're saying, it's in our nature to build stuff, to fix things. And, you know, that feels like you're providing, like, if I do a job for somebody else, like, I'm providing a service to them that is fulfilling to me. Yeah, sure, getting paid is nice, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm getting a reward out of that too. And I think you know, when you're doing something for somebody that you love too, like, that sense of pride that gets put into it is tenfold, because they're super appreciative of it, and then you care about the product a lot more. But yeah, back to, like, the whole, like, idea that people will tell you, how do you know how to do this? It's cool, you can do that. I wish I could do that. Like, one day I'll learn how to do that. And it's okay, you can. Like, you can go take a class, you can learn it. You're not gonna be at the skill level of somebody who's been doing it for 5 to 10 years, because, you know, you do it every day that long, but you still have the potential to do it. You just try it. And you know, I feel that's a place where people stop, is I think they try something once. Like I did, I'm looking at it right now, because my guitar is over here. I tried it for like 2 days and I can't figure this out. And even though I know, like, if I do it for 100 days, I'm going to figure it out. So, you know, I feel that's where a lot of people too is, they want to do these things to build stuff. They give it one try and they fail at it, which, where you and I know that failure is actually where you're going to learn everything. Because in my job, there's we actually just messed up at work the other day. We had a plate go out and it came back, it was 7 mil out of flat, and they were like, not acceptable, fix this. We sat there for like 8 hours. I say we, a couple coworkers sat there for 8 hours, trying to figure it out, couldn't figure it out. Next day, first shift came in, they're like, oh yeah, you just had to heat this one spot. You heat the one spot, drop back down flat, like, instantly. So there's always opportunity for learning, and that quote unquote failure, it's not failure. That's the learning process. Now, if you're coming in half-assing your job and not putting in the effort, then yeah, I wouldn't even call that failure. That's you not showing up to the job, not doing what you do. And again, back, take a look at why you're showing up that way. You know, is your home life not colliding well, meshing with your work life? Are you putting more effort into work and time spent there than you are at home taking care of yourself? Because that's another place that I see is in the industry, is that people are so worried about their work. And I mean, I get it. If you're putting in 10, 12 hour shifts, it's a long day. I've been doing 10s for a couple weeks now, and yeah, it's draining for sure. But the things I do to keep myself from not being drained is going to the gym, is doing the mindset work, is doing the translations. You know, the simplest one is, I have to go build this bar today. No, I get to go build this bar today. That's the easiest thing. The easiest thing you can do is change that have to get. And that has changed my perspective on things I have to do at work all the time. Sure, still get frustrated. Sure, I still throw clamps on the ground from time to time. But, you know, it just comes up. That's what happens. It's all right. And then it passes. I don't take that back home with me and leech that into my friends' lives and, you know, my partner's lives, my family's life. Because once you start doing that, that's when you become the old cranky, decrepit, typical, in quotes again, typical blue collar worker. So yeah, it's not sustainable. And that's where you start to see people, they're like, oh, my grandpa was this and he was dead by the age of blah, blah, this. Like, okay, cool. Like, you know, if you're working in a factory, there's a bunch of asbestos back in the day. If there's that, like, yeah, sure, I could see that happening. But now we have the ability to continue going. And even then, take care of your body correctly, it'll take care of you. Take care of your mind correctly, it'll take care of you. You'll have longevity. You'll be able to do that job even better. And confidently, I would say you'd be able to do it shorter and have more money to retire with, because you got the mind right, you got the body right, showing up at work better. People see that, more money, more money, more money, put that money away, retire quicker. Or invest it, retire even quicker that way too.
Yeah. And like what you were just saying about like like the tie of having like a good health practice and good fitness training practice outside of work and balancing your relationships and stuff and not bringing, you know, the struggles that you encounter at work when you have a bad day back home and stuff is like, that's a good spot for us to talk about the victim mentality, because that's a huge thing in the industry, is that like, oh, if I screwed up and I failed, then it was because of this person, or it was because of, you know, somebody before me that screwed up that part, or, you know, I was late at work because of this happened. You know, people are quick to be in that victimhood and project outward that, you know, it's not my fault. And I see that a lot. It's like, especially with our mindset around failure is a lesson. You know, every time we fail, we get the opportunity to learn what we did wrong, and then we can move forward and effectively do it right the next time and more efficient the next time. And what are some of the most common like mindset and phrases that you come across? And because I want to jump into that, and like you're saying, I get to do this part, I get to build this part, is like having that mindset makes the difference of the day. So what are the some of the phrases that you hear the most, and let's translate them.
The first one that comes to mind, and I've heard this since I was working in factories. So at age 18, I was working in factories, but it's been 11 years of working in these type of industries, and is so if I want to translate, I would say it goes deeper than just a translation, but just living the dream.
Yes,
Ah, that
that's
is
the biggest one I hear every morning. Every morning,
it's
somebody.
like, hey Ryan, how you doing? Oh, I'm great. How are you? Living a dream. Like, are you
And it's
though?
like,
Are
right?
you?
Are you? Do you like? And it's interesting to me because I do talk to a lot of people, and that's the common thing that they say is, "Oh, just living the dream." You know, another day, another dollar. And like these people really do love what they're doing, you know, except it's something that people just say, you know, and as we know, like you're casting a spell on yourself in the tone that you're saying it in. So like when you say that, you really do like your job, but you're putting a shame around it, like as if like subconsciously this isn't the dream, you know, even though you're enjoying yourself and you are, you know, being fulfilled with what you're doing. But yeah, let's translate that. How would you translate just living the dream?
Well, take out the just
Take out the just.
and add the I am, and I would say put the emphasis on, like, look at how your tone of voice is. Oh, I'm living the dream. Sounds pretty sad. Sounds like you want to go crawl in a hole and curl up with a blanket and blame everyone else for why you're not living the dream. Say with confidence, I am living the dream. Okay. It's cool. It's a great start. It feels good. You can hear it in the voice. Why are you living the dream? I am living the dream because I get to go build things every day. I am living a dream because I am proud of my work. Go from the easy side of I'm living the dream to I am living the dream. I'm living the dream because once you get your why in there and that, you're going to be more determined. You're going to want to continue doing it. Like, after an 8-hour shift of welding, last thing I want to do is come home and weld. But like today on a Saturday, I don't have to work. If I had a shop, when I get my own shop, I will be, out there welding and doing stuff. Cause I have so many people, they're like, can you show me how to weld? I'm like, yeah, of course. Just wait till I buy a welder. Cause I love it. So therefore, I am literally living my dream. Because once I went to school and I saw all this and I still see what is to come with this, I am. I'm not living in a dream. I'm living my life.
And
Living the life that I
that's
want.
the word right there that I was going to add to that. My life, you know, like take out the and replace it with my, you know, I'm living my dream because I love what I do. You know, like having the dream is like projecting it outwards of like, onto a collective of like, you know, what is everybody's dream? This, you know, I'm just living everybody's dream. No, this is my dream. I'm living my dream, you know?
All right. It's not the American dream. It's my dream.
Boom. Boom. What's another one that you hear commonly?
Or it's even... hard. It's hard for me to think of. Cause like I said, I've gotten very lucky in my shop. So like we have these conversations with certain people and like there's some that we don't see. I'm trying to remember from, especially when I was 19 to like 23, cause that's where I was really working in that assembly line. The other one that comes up like automatically for me is like, ready to suck today's dick. Like, I don't know if you've heard that one before. Yeah. I mean, dude, shop talk is like, you know, yeah, how it is. Like, yeah, it's, it could be vulgar. It's fun.
One of my favorite parts.
Dude, it's fun. It's great. Like, that's the other thing. People are like, oh, like, people are mean. They're so mean in the industry. It's like, no, if like that's happening, like it is a term of demon and endearment and love. It's just the way that these men show it.
And it's for me, it's, you know, it's a personal reflection. You know, how if somebody's going to talk shit to you and say these things, it's like, you know, are you confident in the work you're doing and confident in where you're at? And if somebody says some shit talk to you, like, are you taking it personally to heart? Or are you recognizing that they're having a bad day or they're not living the dream, you know, that they want to live? So they're projecting and stuff and owning. It's like, okay, you know, shit talk and not taking it personally.
Right. Yeah. It's fun. The banter, like, I mean, you know, that's what they say, like, oh, you got to have thick skin to be in the industry. And it's like, yeah, maybe a little bit, but like, as long as you know, like you'll know when someone's being mean to you and they're being rude to you. Cause
right,
I've noticed in this industry is that's what's cool about it. So it's not fake. So if someone doesn't like you, you're going to know about it. You still got to work with that person,
mm-hmm,
but they'll be like, it'll be a strict like work vibe,
mm-hmm,
where it's like, okay, like, in order to get this job done, I still got to work with you. Or it's like you're here in the offices and like, it's not to like degrade on anybody's doing that, but it's like, you'll hear about the talk of like, oh, hey, like Janine, it'd be really great. Like, I really appreciate you. And then I walk away like, fuck that bitch. Like,
it's
no,
Janine.
It's like, no, like, it's just no. And you can't expect everyone to like you. Like, we know that just in life in general, like, you're just not going to get along with some people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because you're liked by everybody. If you feel like there's something you're not doing right. But yeah, that's the other one that comes up to mind. I don't know if there's any other ones that you've got.
One that comes to mind for me is the idea around Mondays. People are like, you know, Fridays are, you know, this, like, Mondays, it's like, damn, it's Monday. Mondays suck because it's got to go to work. For me, you know, like, Mondays are great. Mondays set the tone on a lot of things. And it's like, I get to wake up and I get to go back to a full week work, you know, and have this stuff. A lot of people wake up and be like, damn, it's Monday. Mondays always start out slow for a lot of people because, you know, oftentimes, you know, it has to do with they drank their brains out over the weekend. So they're all depleted in energy and stuff. And they come back Monday. And then the Friday thing too is like TGIF, you know, I love a good Friday too. And like you were saying, you know, you're less likely to come home after an 8-hour shift of welding and get right back into the shop, you know, at your home shop and do welding. But on the weekends, you're like, yeah, dude, I want to be in there, you know? But that's something I hear about is like Mondays are terrible simply because it's the start of a job they don't want to be at.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The case of the Mondays.
Right.
That's a typical one you'll hear. And it's like, ah, just yes. What's one I've heard I've heard this spell casted in my family for a long time is, yes, Monday tomorrow work. Oh yes. Start of the work week. It's like when I hear that, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, like I am excited about
Let's
it
go,
because
baby.
Like I get to go build stuff. I get to do that. And it's fun too, because like you got a good group of guys that you're working with. It makes it so much easier. Like these 10 hours go by a lot easier because I've got guys I like to work with. I have the conversations. It's not just these surface level things where we're numbing out on dumb stuff. Like, yeah, sure, we'll show each other a funny video or something in the break room while you're passing time. But no, like, we'll have real life conversations about things. So, yeah, the whole taste of the Mondays. That's yeah, if you can change that, you can change that perspective on, you know, like, again, it's so easy to me to say it, but like, switch the have to get, like, oh, I have to go to work tomorrow. Oh, like, it's Monday, we have to start the week over. It's like, no, like, I get to start my new beginning.
Mm-hmm. So for you, with, let's play out a scenario here for you and how you would coach somebody and invite somebody to break out of this paradigm of all these like negative stories that we've been telling. Let's say that a coworker came up to you and you could see over the past couple weeks that he's just been really down, low energy, slow to his days, not being very effective. And then a conversation came up where he's like, "Hey Rob, like, I see you smiling over there all the time. It looks like, you know, you're having a lot of fun with you're doing a really great job welding. And I also see that like you're fit as fuck. And like, how do I get that? Where, like, how do I begin that?" So what would you, and let's say this person is, yeah, not the most healthy eater. He's a doom scroller, and you know that, you know, their out of work life is somewhat depressing. Somebody was coming up to you asking you, like, how do I start a journey of doing what I love, because I love welding, and like, how do I start my initiation into shifting this paradigm that I have?
I would say first things first, get your why. You know, you mentioned that, hey, I really love welding. Okay, are you just saying you love welding? Or like, what are the reasons? What are the whys? Why do you love it? Do you love it because, you know, they're not going to know, if you're at that point, not going to know what a flow state is. Do you love it because everything in life slips away and gets quiet when you flip down your hood and strike an arc and it's just you in that puddle? Is your why because you like to build things? Is your why because you have fulfillment? And it can be more than just one thing. Those are three things that why I love is because flow state, fulfillment, pride, and I have fun. It's just fun. You know, that's why I've told people I feel very lucky that I found this position, because I was like, this is great, this is so much fun. But as I've been going on, I've realized, okay, like, those are three major whys I keep doing it. Fourth why for me, and this is why I'm here and why I'm a huge supporter of the blue collar industry, is because I care about it, because it's declining. It's declining in people. So that's why I'm here. So I would say get to your why. Okay, you get your why, you figure that out. And then from there, all right, start giving that perspective shift of, okay, yeah, this is why I like welding. All right, from there, if you want to, you mentioned getting physically fit, I would say look at your sleep habits second, because that's going to create more energy for at work for you to do the mind work as well. And then once you can get that energy, you start feeling a little more energy, then you can allow that to the gym. You know, you put in an extra hour at the gym, because I know it's doing physical demanding jobs. And I've heard this so many times. It's like, well, I do a physically demanding job, like, I don't need to actually work out. It's like, yeah, but your body's so used to that 40 to 50 hours a week of doing that physical job that that's normal for your body. Mm-hmm. You can put an hour, even 45 minutes of stress on your body, of good quality stress when lifting weights. That's going to improve so much more. I always say the first 2 weeks sucks because you're sore. And, you know, you get through that. And then once your body gets used to doing that again, then that energy is created. For me, I'm lucky. I work second shift. I work out before I go to work. So that creates energy for me to have for work. Where, and if you work first shift, you can do that too.
Right.
You know, just had to wake up pretty early. Because as far as I know, if you're working in the shop, you're starting at like 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. If that's your schedule, do that. If not, that's cool. Go right after work. Go straight from work to the gym. Because you get home, you'll get in the habit of sitting down leads to doom scrolling leads to maybe falling asleep, and then it leads to, oh, it's late at night, I'll just order some food real quick, have a couple beers, fall asleep. And that's where I'm talking about the sleep comes in, because what I like to practice is no food 2 hours before going to bed. No screen time. If I do have screen time, I have my blue light blocking glasses on, because then that can help me create that melatonin, and then I can fall asleep a lot quicker, get deeper sleep. And then in the mornings, rise with the sun if you can. I don't get to, because I go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to wake up at 6 a.m. when the sun's coming out. But I do get outside. I get the sun in. I don't have blackout curtains closed all the time. I have them open so that when I do wake up, there is some natural light coming through my windows. So I would say get your why, get your sleep in order, gym, and then honestly, like, I would put eating fourth, because eating is like going to the gym.
And eating is a lot of times the most, for people who don't have like a good eating practice and cooking practice and stuff, that's the one that's going to be the most challenge. Like going to the gym, all the gym equipment's there, you just need to show up and move your body and stuff. But with cooking, you need to make sure you're buying all the right foods, taking the time to cook, cleaning, it is a lot more time consuming when you're first really starting out on that journey.
Right. And it's one thing that for me, when I first started my journey of going this way too, is that I was like, I got to do everything all at once. I got to get rid of EMF. I got to eat correctly. I have to be in the gym. I have to sauna. I have to cold plunge. I have to make sure my clothes aren't riddled with bad toxins. I got to make sure all my soap is fine. No, don't. That is going to make you not want to do everything. Mm-hmm. Take it one step at a time. That's why I said first, get the why. Because when you got that, then you have your reasoning of being there. And that why can pertain to more than just your job. That pertains to why you're going to the gym, why you're eating healthy, why you want to live the lifestyle that you see and that you want. Okay. And then take the action of, how do I get there? So don't do it all at once. Take it slowly, like over time, integrate it. And then once you start integrating these new habits into your life, those old ones that you don't want die out. And then you even forget that you have them. Like there's stuff that I used to do that I don't even think about anymore, where it's because it's now so rapid coming into my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Where it's just, oh, okay, it's 12:30 at night when I get home. All right, glasses on. It just becomes automatic. And it's little things that definitely help out. So it doesn't have to be this big grand thing where you completely flip everything around. You can implement slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge and great that you mentioned that, because yeah, it's the slow incremental wins and like stacking up of those positive habits. And you don't, like you said, it's like, it's less that you need to remove, focusing on removing the bad habits, and more of like just adding in the good habits. Because if you're adding in the good sleep, you're adding in, some physical exercise, and you have your why in the back of your head, then it's like, yeah, you just, the old habits and the things that are keeping you down are not going to be there, because you're simply doing positive things.
Right. Yeah, I would say on top of all that too, if that person who came up to me was clearly like, just running rampant, their mouth is just traveling 1,000 miles per hour, like, this has always happened to me, this is what happens, like, I always feel this way, I don't know what I'm doing, and, whenever I talk to this, okay, like, slow down, like, there's some regulation that needs to happen, get the breath going, and then, if they're lucky enough to come talk to someone with me, like, hey, look, I also do coaching. I have some tools that will help you. I'm hearing some stuff. Let's hop on a call. I would say too, like, if you're listening to this and that sounds like you, you know, reach out to somebody that does do coaching. You can reach out to me, reach out to Ryan. I mean, or find somebody else that you know that you really like that can coach. That's a good point, because then you can go, you know, inwards and find deeper, because just getting your why might not be enough. There might be some things in there, like I mentioned earlier, the collective story of you're an idiot because you joined a blue collar industry. You know, that might be so rampant running in there for you that you see no matter what you do, you're still this lower perceived human because you went to a trade school instead of going to a four-year university, which people end up usually doing 6 years in anyways too. So,
and that's a good point, and something that you brought to surface for me was that, like, in this industry and in the trades and everything, you just, it's common for people to, you know, it's nice because you're able to figure things out by yourself and like go through the process and learn and stuff. And there's a resistance for a lot of people for asking for help. And especially in this area of like trying to not just get better at your craft and ask for help in that way. I think that's easier because people obviously want to make sure that they're doing things right and have good work and stuff. Except when it comes to like the mindset and health and wellness around it, is in this industry, if you're asking for help outside, then you're creating the story that you're weak or that, you know, you're less than what you can be and stuff. And it's okay to ask for help, especially from other coaches and, you know, health practitioners and stuff like that. That's a big story that I see too, is like people are afraid to ask for help outside of their work to make their lives better, especially as men, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, not, I was told it as a kid, like, you are dumb for not asking for help. And I don't want to cast that spell on anybody, but like, when I got into school, into college, I should say, for the trades, I knew right away, I was like, just ask questions. Just ask every question you can, because these teachers are here to help you. And yeah, I paid almost $30,000+ to be there for 2 years. And yeah, I'm gonna drag every bit of information out of them that I can. Like, I remember I was sitting in a truck with somebody at break, and you know, I was a little bit older than most people that went there, and not really that older. Like, the average age to be there is 26. I was 24, 25. And someone, I was talking with my buddy at the time, and he was like, dude, you ask a lot of questions. Like, and you ask good questions. He's like, I would never, like, he's like, I have questions that come up, but I would never be able to ask that in front of the class. And I was like, to me, I was like, it's a no-brainer, dude. Like, I want to know this stuff. I want to know how to figure it out. And the only way I'm going to do that is by asking them.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's, and you know, asking for help is the biggest thing. And you were saying people being worried about like asking outside of the job and whatnot, like that's okay. Like, that's fine. But that's why I'm also here as a coach, because I am in that industry. I may not be a carpenter. I might not be doing cement. I may not be doing electrical work. Understand what it's like to be in the industry and the physical demand of it and the mental demand of it as well. So yeah, I mean, reaching out and getting the mind right for this job for this industry is crucial because of the workload that does get put on you. And honestly, like, I've seen a lot of stuff of it and like people talking about it. It's like, really, like, it is the front lines of the world. I mean, people forget, like, the houses we live in, that's got to be built by somebody, but it's more than just the house. It's the pipes that are running through it. It's the electrical wires that are running through it. Then you got guys that specifically do drywall, and you got guys that specifically do flooring. There's so many different things that go into this that, like, it's all being built. All the buildings we go into where we get to go see, my favorite thing, concerts. Dude, people had to build that giant thing, especially if you go to like an old Oriental theater. It's beautiful, right? The work that is there. And you know, I see it more, you see it more because I'm in the industry, but I feel other people forget about how much goes in to the things and their everyday life that somebody with their hands built physically, right. Hard work all the time. Like, one of my favorite things I've heard in another podcast was the road that I drove on to get here had to be built by somebody. He goes, those people deserve the credit.
Mm.
Those people who built the building we're sitting in now deserve more credit than what they get. Because mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, it's all around. Like I just look out the window and see the other house next to me. Like that got built by somebody. All, everything that's downtown Milwaukee, built by somebody. There's a new building going up. It's crazy. There's dudes up there hanging from harnesses, welding and bolting things in. And there's a giant crane that's bringing this huge I-beam over. Like, mad respect to those ironworkers. Mad respect. If I had to do it, yeah, I would do it. Do I want to do it? Not right now. No. But it's got to be cool being up there, man. Like, mm-hmm. We've gotten so far away from what is happening around us and being built that, you know, respect's due where respect is deserved and everything like that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big disconnect from all of that, you know. And I was thinking about food when you're talking about that, you know, it's the same thing, you know, just how it's like people just go and buy meat, mm-hmm. you know, and have no connection to the animal or to the farm or to the land or anything. And they just, you know, they're grateful that they have food on their plate. But they lack the connection that, oh, you know, this went through a whole process and however many people were involved for this to be here. Same thing with construction. And that's cool about the construction industry is, and just like all trades and everything. And it's like, there's so much collaboration, you know, and there is so much that goes into it, on all the different levels. So I love that. What is, how do you set up your morning to continue having great days? What's a morning routine? And obviously morning routines work differently for everybody. And it's fascinating, you know, that you are a second shift worker, and it's cool to me to hear that you prefer the second shift. Like you like that shift, you know, where a lot of people are like, second shift, you know, which it takes getting used to and stuff, but what's your morning like to set yourself up for greatness?
Yeah, well, I'll actually start with my night because I get home anywhere from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Well, I work until 10 p.m. or 12 a.m. So I'll get anywhere home from like 10:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. So instead of staying up until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, whereas most people, like when you work the first shift, you get off at 5, you stay up for X amount of hours, you're in bed by like 9 or 10 o'clock, you know, you have those hours to hang out. I don't do that. I don't hang out after work. I get home, I shower, brush the teeth, read, glasses, whatever I want to do there at that nightly routine. And I'm in bed by 1 a.m. So I'm home by like 12:20. 12:30, in bed by 1 a.m., phone's off, making sure that I get those 7-8 hours of sleep, and I wake up earlier instead of waking up an hour before work and going to work and staying up late. So I would say start there. Get to bed, like, quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, if it works for you, if you can, you know, because naturally, like, we're supposed to be resting with the sun. But in the mornings, if I go to bed at 1 o'clock, I'm up at 9 a.m. If I go to bed at 12 o'clock, I'll be up at 8 a.m. Same thing. If I go to bed at 11 o'clock, I'll be up at 7 a.m. because I want to get the most time out of my day. So in the morning, then I wake up. I have a dog, so I let him out right away first thing in the morning. But then, yeah, for me, it's get up, get in a cold shower that boosts the day right away. That gets the energy, especially if you're feeling groggy from the shift from the night before. Cold shower. Within the first hour that I'm up, I'm also drinking 30 ounces of water, chugging that. I already have my gym bag packed for the day. I go to the gym, spend about an hour there. So within my first 2 hours of the day, I've already taken a cold shower, rehydrated myself, from my sleep, and then I get a workout in, creating energy. And then that allows me to have time to cook breakfast, gives me time to take my dog for a walk, gives me time to meet up with my friends if I really do want to before work. So yeah, that's easiest thing I do in the morning is the cold water, drink water, and go to the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's setting you up for greatness. You're starting out the day with three wins, you know, and mm-hmm. especially like the cold shower. Cold showers are huge for me too, because it's instantly doing something a little bit uncomfortable, you know, and knowing it's good for you. And it's a stress relief of like getting high stress and then being able to calm it down, which especially translates into our line of work, because when shit happens, it can be very frustrating and things can change and, you know, prints can change and stuff. So it's like being able to regulate the nervous system effectively through the breath and getting that rep in the morning for the day. I found that to be something that I utilize, and it's been helpful just with like nervous system regulation. Mm-hmm. And the movement too, like you said, you're energizing, you're using energy to like create more energy for your day. Which, yeah, people think, oh, if I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to be tired at work or something, even though it's likely the opposite for most people. And like you said, after the first 2 weeks, because the first 2 weeks of going to the gym does suck. And, I love that.
It sucks in a good way. It feels good.
And that's the mindset shift right there, right? You know?
Yeah, it feels good to have that soreness, because you know what's happening. Like, okay, I'm sore because I exerted my muscles, and what's happening is they're rebuilding. And then as you keep doing that, your muscles rebuild better and your recovery time is faster. Right now it's like, yeah, if I go to the gym, yeah, depending on like what I'm doing, if I'm doing some real strength training and throwing up four reps with heavy weight on, like, yeah, the next day I'm going to feel it, especially on my mm-hmm. pecs if I'm doing bench presses and things along those lines. But that maybe lasts for a day, whereas it used to last like multiple days in a row now. Mm-hmm. So the recovery time, it gets better, it gets quicker. You get better, you get quicker. It's just a win-win all around. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, the other thing too that I've heard, and like as we're on the subject of the gym, is like, I don't have time to go to the gym. So okay, but you have time to be tired and make excuses for yourself to not go to the gym, to scroll on your phone, like you said, watch TV. You have time to go sit at the bar and poison yourself. You know, it's perspective on where you want to be with that.
Mm-hmm. I got one more question before you, before we head out here. One I may have asked you before. Can't remember if I have or not when we've done another podcast with Bilbo. But I'm going to ask it again anyways. What does soul mean to you, especially in the context of your journey with welding?
It means being fully present, feeling what's going on around you, and being one with what's happening, yeah, in the moment, especially if you're talking the welding, because presence is key. Got to be on your toes.
Yes, I love that. Badass dude. Where can people follow you and connect with you more and talk more with you about shifting this paradigm?
The best place is going to be on Instagram at The Conscious Welder. DMs are always open. Can always message me there. Shoot me a follow. That way I actually get the message instead of going to my request. You can find me on Facebook too. Rob Hilgendorf. That's where I'm at on there. Not too active on there, so Instagram's gonna be the best place. to find me for sure.
Right on. And do you have any projects or programs or coaching or anything that you offer that people can dive into?
Yeah. Right now I offer one-on-one coaching, whether that looks like for mindset work. If you want to get into the gym, I don't do personal training that way. I can help you shift your perspective and get in that. If you're looking for a lifestyle changes as well too, you know, we can help. I can help you get into that rhythm. So shifting the mindset and lifestyle, definitely open to doing that. So yeah, shoot me a DM, we can get on a call and get you moving to the top, get you that raise.
Hell yeah. And I can attest to his mastery in this. We're currently rocking level 2 within Lifted right now. Shout out group 11. I strongly invite everybody and encourage anybody to reach out to Rob and move through it. So thank you so much, brother, for joining me on here. This was fun.
Thanks for having me, man. It's great. I love it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Summit to Soul Mountain. That was a lovely podcast to share with Rob Hilgendorf, my boy Robster Lobster. Grateful for him to share his story with welding, his passion, and his mission to inspire. So if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave me a rating and share a comment. If you connected with something about it, it's helpful for me to know what you liked about this conversation so that I can continue to share valuable conversations with you. And I'm just curious. So thank you. And if you're curious about the Brothers Beyond Men's Retreat down in Costa Rica in late April this year, go to summittosoulmountain.com/brothersbeyond/ and get some more information, connect with us. See you next time.